Hello and welcome to episode 59 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
This is Fat Asian and I play Protector Domenoth and Convergence of Cirrus. Go Warjacks.
This is Keith and I play Krix, Signar, and Circular Boros. Go Infantry.
This is Chad and I play Trollbloods. Go Trump.
This is Crump and I play Circle, Mercenaries, Retribution, Signar, Trollbloods, Minions. Go Faction Fatigue.
I was going to say, go ADD.
This is Colin. Blah, 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 Drake. Blah, 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 Drake.
See,
scored.
That was
blah.
A good impression. You guys suck.
Why did you validate his impression of you?
You missed the Bears part.
Blah, blah, Bears scored. Drake, blah.
See?
You just completely validated his impression of you. Why would you do that?
Do over.
Oh,
do
Karen, over. Karen, you have much to learn.
You have a lot to learn.
Blah, blah, Drake's.
I hope that's all okay. He does all podcasts. Like, Colin, what are your positives?
It was actually
funny the third time.
I guarantee you it won't be like the fifth time.
No,
there is you're over the limit.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, Drake's. I like
okay,
four.
Yeah, it's
No, we've gone past the limit. So
push it to the limit.
Now we are going to enter into the dojo. I don't have any. We were supposed to be here for someone else.
No dojo.
Oh,
dojo.
Okay.
I've got dojo.
Yeah, no. I've been wanting to. I have a list.
Is it Drake's?
Is it Drake's?
It happens to have four Drakes in them. You might be able to guess the answer.
Talked about this list?
What? I've never talked about this list.
Huh. Nick right. did.
So I created this.
No, I did.
Wait, who's Nick?
No. Oh, my God.
Sorry, Colin. Carry on.
Okay. So I created this list for E-Hexy. And its number one issue was to deal with
Krix.
Yes. And, you know, I obviously thought of E-Hexy as a great caster to take advantage of Black Spot. And I went looking through all of our cheap options to help take advantage of that spell and came across the Drakes as a four-point option. Thought, you know, taking two Drakes would be good. Added three, it was a little bit better. Four seemed to be the perfect spot.
What's the list, Colin?
Hang on. I got to load up War Room.
I can actually see why Drakes are really good. Cause it's very similar to when I was running around with four or five Repenters with Peace Heavy and killing everything.
Yeah.
Well, it's like that, but you have infinite boosts.
It turns out I don't need infinite boosts when I'm Rat 8, Power 15.
That's why it's the same effect.
Fact.
Because he gets to make 8 sprays... And he gets to boost 3 attack or damage rolls per Drake.
Yeah, no, it's really strong.
For free.
Yep.
So the list is Epic Hexy, 4 Drakes, Cyclops Raider, Tiberian, Gladiator, Agonizer, Exolar Soul Ward, a full unit of Beast Handlers, and a full unit of Incendiary.
What was the Cyclops what?
Raider.
The snipe one?
Red Rocket.
Yep.
Why?
Snipe out solos like Gorman. Things like that.
Wait.
Do you have the Extolar Soul Ward?
No, when he forfeits movement, he's got Arcane Precision.
Arcane Precision.
Oh, yep. I see.
And he has an Extolar Soul Ward.
And I have an Extolar Soul Ward.
I'm not sure that guy fits. The rest of it I like.
Yep. He's new in the list.
He should be a fifth Drake.
But I love that guy at sniping out individual models because his range is so far.
I have found...
Do you have a Shaman?
No Shaman.
So what's your Arc Node?
One of the Drakes.
Interesting.
Because what I found out is one of, I normally, like, I don't know if it was bad or good, but I tend to do well with this list, and how I used my Shaman was I would sacrifice him early for an Arc Node, and so since I tend to sacrifice a Drake early anyway, and I tend to put Rush on a Drake, so that way they're just walking 8 inches and getting the best spray possible, that I'll still get a really good Arc from that same spot.
Okay, so if you can walk 7, spray 8, is that right?
No, there's
walk
speed
eight.
6.
I'll walk 8 with Rush.
So you've got a 16-inch range? You actually don't need the Raider at all?
Yeah. You can just spray it.
You can just spray whatever you want to spray. Yeah. So I think, how many points is the Raider?
5.
I would drop the Raider and one Drake and put in another heavy, and your list would be way better, I think.
Or drop the Raider and put in a fifth Drake. Or a Kriya, so
no,
that
I
we
feel
can
like,
flank.
I feel like three Drakes plus Ashes to Ashes is enough. And
it's
then
not.
It's not enough.
More
John.
Drakes, more better, John.
With Black Spot.
Three is probably enough.
Yeah. I feel like the list would be stronger.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help you, Dojo.
Well, oh no, yeah, no. I this is why I wanted the dojo. I've
this
never
is what
been,
dojo
you guys,
is for.
You guys never talk to me about any of my lists.
There are no Cyclops Raiders in this dojo.
So you're running the two heavies. You have two heavies right now, Tibbers and a Gladiator.
Yep. Yeah. See, I would like you to find another point and put in a bronze back.
They do hit hard.
Not only, it's just the thing that's really cool is, and I know it's not necessarily against Krix, but all the healing you can get. It's pretty strong. Yeah.
Well, so
I really like Molly Karn with Epic Exodus too.
Yeah, he's really good with Ashenvale.
I think my other list will there's potential for it to be
Makeda.
Key Makeda.
Yeah. If it's Zal, you can put Karn. Well, kind of wants Karn too.
I don't know. No. Ashenvale,
unfortunately, Epic Exodus is one of the ones who does.
My Zal list that I have wants Tiberian super bad because it's just like I want to take a punch and deliver it back three times harder.
So what if you dropped a Drake, the Raider, and got a Bronzeback and a Savage? I like this plan. This is good.
Well, we're up 6 points at that point, so I think we're good.
Awesome.
Do you have a Tar Pit in the list?
No, I do not.
I'm just wondering.
You should put in more Savages.
So how many units of Whip Dudes?
Whips?
Yeah.
Beast Handlers?
Yeah.
Just one max.
So I would switch that to two men. Here's why. In that infantry matchup, you can take one of the units of four and put Ashenvale on it and run it in front of your Warbeast.
Not sure if serious
for
or if trolling really hard.
No, it's actually really good.
They're def 15 then.
And they're really annoying.
With reach and anatomical.
What's that?
I lose two Beast Handlers.
So?
Like, the most powerful thing about this list is being able to ramp up the Fury every turn.
You still can. You have four Beast Handlers.
I need six.
You do not need six.
You need six.
Why do you need six?
Well, because Beast Handlers, like, against every single opponent I ever play, most of the time they target Beast Handlers as early as possible.
That's what I'm saying. It depends on the matchup, but if you have two units, you have the option of screening your Beasts with Beast Handlers and being really annoying. I know for a fact I did this at Gen Con and when I was playing against all those multi-weapon master lists. And they saved my bacon, where I was just like, Ashenvale, these guys, put them out front. And they don't want to take free strikes from them because they have anatomical precision.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can't charge past them, so they have to kind of deal with them, and they're def 15. And it just gives you an extra turn of, like, being able to kill
Drake
some guys.
Sprays.
Yeah, it gives you an extra turn of Drake sprays.
Yep.
It just gives you the flexibility to do that. I'm not saying that you necessarily do that every game or that it's even a cornerstone of your plan. But it's like one more point to give you the flexibility to do that.
So you can put in another Gladiator and those extra Beast Handlers.
Yeah, that would be good.
For the Raider and the Drake.
I think the list would be stronger that way.
I'd be willing to see it both ways.
Or maybe even a Sentry.
Sentry doesn't afford you that extra point.
Yeah.
For the Beast Handlers.
Yeah, it does not.
Anyway, just a thought.
But the list is super legit versus Krix. I took it at the Mayhem Cup a while back. And it only had three Drakes, but it was super good. Unfortunately, this list is really affected by occasional bad dice. If you have any occasional bad dice, it'll just fall. It'll just crumble.
Drakes are Rat 4, right?
Rat 5.
Oh man, never mind.
So they're Rat 7 with Black Spot.
Effective.
Yeah. Wait, what?
And then you get the biz to hit. And
so what's the bad dice thing about?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand what why you're susceptible to bad dice, especially when you have multiple sprays going off against infantry. Like, I'm trying to understand where the...
Ones happen.
What?
Ones happen.
Yeah, but I don't see how this list is more susceptible to bad dice than any other list in War Machine and Hordes.
Well,
as a matter of fact, I think it's probably less susceptible to bad dice than a lot of lists.
Down now. Whoa, calm down.
No, I'm serious. Because if you talk about something that like relies on Mat 6, for example... That's way more susceptible to runs of bad dice than something that is...
capable of boosting.
And being Rat 7.
I'm just capable of boosting.
Right.
Like, that's all the dice fixing you need. Like, just this is a dice game. More dice, more better.
Yeah.
That's the point of this list, is that he's spreading his fury load out over four beasts.
Yeah.
So he can force 12 times and then have his beast handlers just completely erase it all.
No,
which
that's
is
cool.
Amazing.
That's really strong. I think it's a really strong list.
I like it a lot. I've seen him play it a couple of times against Krix. And sprays are just amazing against Krix in general.
They are.
I've been learning this as I switched my Scattergunners, as I've been playing Scattergunners more and more lately. And these are POW 14 magical sprays. Yep. And yeah, the ability to boost, like, it's just really good. And then if you catch a model, like, you get to lay another one down. Even if you've used up all your boosts on your first spray, Rat 5 spray, that's POW 14, just still kills random stuff, you know, if you get it to do it for free.
So good against Banes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I really like the lists. But there's, like, a lot of people have been talking to me about putting, like, a bronze back in the lists, and...
Or
I,
maybe if it's against Krix, we put a unit Annihilators in.
You need to stop interrupting Colin.
I'm sorry.
I tend to not like the bronze back when I'm building a list to face Krix, just because he only threats 9.5 inches. And I think almost everything in Krix threats more than 9.5.
No,
not Banes.
I actually think Annihilators...
got cursed, never mind.
Annihilators with Ashen Veil. Pretty strong.
Colin's mentioned before, I don't know, I think he's talked about this in the podcast, but he's told us just in person that he doesn't like bronze backs in general because he doesn't know how to play them really. So that's just a matter of your practice level, I feel like.
Yep.
Because he says he always goes for the, he'll always like throw his bronze back at something that's not really, that's, you know, it's not going to trade up with, and then he's down points and he, you know, loses his bronze back for nothing. But yep. That's just a matter
it's
of practice.
Like I tend to play against a lot of Krix, and I think that's kind of my issue.
You play against Fox a lot?
Yeah. I mean, my main opponent is Krix, and I tend to just throw a bronze back at kill a couple Banes, and then two Banes take out my bronze backs. Like,
here's where the bronze back is most powerful. If you hold it back, have the Drakes do all of their work clearing off everything, and then he might come forward and kill a couple Drakes, and then you've got your backup Drakes to still do a couple of work, and then he might come forward and kill them. And then by the time everything's all said and done and the dust is cleared, most of his army is gone, and you might still have a bronze back.
Yeah.
And that's where the bronze back's really going to start being powerful, is in the late game.
I was just thinking against, like, standard Krix lists. If you, instead of the bronze back, if you put Annihilators with Ashen Veil, then things like Satixos Raiders are like, crap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it gives you insulation, and then the Drakes will be pretty good against the Sat
Raiders.
Also
more bodies for healing.
Yep.
Keep the Drakes up.
Do you get healing off your own guys?
I thought you only got healing off your own guys. I mean, is that backwards?
You get healing off enemies.
Never mind.
It's vampiric.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
It's not imperishable.
Gotcha.
But I, like, so with this list, I tend to, like, I've seen people play Epic Hexie, and they seem to cast Ashes to Ashes a lot, and I just do not like casting Ashes to Ashes. I would rather, like, cast Black Spot, boost a hit, upkeep that black spot on that unit for the next turn, and then cast black spot, or like destroy the rest of that unit, and then cast black spot on another unit.
So another option you could go with was Venator Reavers. So combining those with the sprays and black spots could be really devastating.
Yeah.
Just as a thought.
The other thing you can try that Josh Holt liked to use was the Reaver, the gun.
The flare cannon?
Yeah, the flare cannon. Because it gets, and then he would play the, I forget what they're called, Pooh Holders.
Extoller Soul Wards
with them, just to turn them up to 11.
Okay.
Ignore concealment and such.
Actually, I have it. You need to play it with the Siege Animantrax. No, I actually think it could actually work on that list. I'm not kidding.
It's clearly broken.
This dojo. I've just been shaking my head this entire time.
I actually think Black Spot makes that thing, because it makes so many initial attacks.
Nice. I saw Trevor playing one of those at Lock and Load against Jake during his podcast game, and he rolled bonkers-ass dice on it and killed three Raptors with it. And everyone around the table was just like, ah, Siege Animantrax! Whoa, it's so good!
Well, I mean, it has a really nice high base POW, so...
It's really bad, John.
I agree, but I think...
I don't think so.
Is it worth polishing this turd?
One more key to this list is...
Especially if he's playing the Krix game. Sorry to interrupt you. But especially if he's planning this list against Krix, adding a huge base.
Brilliant maneuver.
I agree.
Just be slingers at that point.
Yeah.
I actually do think, though, Oh, Slingers might
Sorry
be good
to interrupt
but
you.
I think actually the Venator Reavers are better.
And 11 points, which we don't have.
Yes, that is the problem.
You don't need the UA.
Just take out your Savage. Put in the Venator Reavers.
No, hold on.
Bronze back.
So you have four Drakes plus Venator Reavers plus full unit. You can go back to the full unit. Bronzeback, or not Bronzeback, Gladiator Tibbers. I actually like that beast loadout. That's really good.
He can't use Tibbers. It's in his other list.
Well, no, it's in this list tentatively right
yeah.
now.
What was it? I think you have, I guess you have to drop. You have to go with three Drakes. But, I mean, maybe that's a different list. But I don't know. That's, if I'm going to build against Krix, having that extra long range is pretty sweet. Because you get to Alpha Strike.
I like how you came in with your dojo, and John had like 50,000 suggestions for it, basically saying like your dojo is crap.
No, that's not.
Here's to make it better.
Yeah. Well,
I thought you wanted feedback. I'm sorry. You know what, Colin, you should keep it exactly how it is. Perfect.
Okay. Oh, come on.
No, I will. I'm not going to take your opinion. You're just trying to throw me off for our game. Like,
no, I'm actually giving you good advice.
No, that's pretty
fine.
Good advice.
Okay, whatever. But anyway, so actually,
you can
how
play your anti-Krix list against Rask. That's fine.
So how I play Epic Hexy's Feat, I've seen people play it so that way he just becomes more of a spellcaster. Basically, my main function in this list with his feat is to take Fury off of my Drakes once my Beast Handlers die out. So that way I still have Fury management, and that was the reason why the Drakes actually stack up well in this list, is because even late game I can still have Fury management. So,
If they're still alive.
Yes.
That's actually... I hadn't thought about Rush and Drakes and that interaction. Like, that kind of makes me want to play Scorn, I'm not going to lie. Black Spot plus 8-inch walking spray bots that are pound 14.
Yep.
That are, no, like
you
that
can
seven.
Boost as many no, times as you want, basically.
And they also, they get like two sprays per guy. He's just like, goosh, goosh. It's like, you're pretty much building the Convergence Battle Engine, right? I mean, that's...
That's better.
But
it's way better.
So this is actually kind of sad to say. I built this list based off of one of John's lists, so in Menoth. So that makes me sadden to say that. But.
No, I've done that with trolls before. I'm like, man, is there any way that I can emulate the choir? And no, the answer is no.
The answer is yes.
I actually straight think, Colin, that your list is actually superior to the Peace Heavy list than I was playing. Like, I think
no,
the Drakes are better.
I know that, John.
It doesn't have a Defender's Ordered Avatar.
No, it's got Tibbers.
Which is worse
Much
than a
less
Defender's
good Order. Than a Defender's Ordered Avatar.
It's pretty strong. I mean, it's not a Defender's Ordered Avatar, but it's pretty strong.
Agreed. It's pretty strong.
It's really strong. It's better for scenario play.
Just a vanilla Tibbers with no buffs or anything?
Ashenville.
Black Spot.
It goes to Def.
Those aren't.
Oh, 13.
Defender's Ward and Enliven.
No, it's got Black Spot and Beast Handlers, though.
Those are offensive.
Yeah, those are good things.
Yeah, I guess.
That's I mean, good. I'm just...
Tiberian has a movable object.
Yep.
It's okay. It's a fine.
Tibbers out threats Avatar. By an inch. With Rush?
With Rush, yep.
Yeah.
Got it.
Chad has dojo.
Would you? Would you be scared of a Tibbers versus your Defender's Worded Avatar?
No,
not at all.
No,
because here's what you do: gaze, enliven, go. Ah, that's what you do.
Did you? Just
and
do
you make that noise exactly.
It's easy to stop enliven.
And then
Chad.
He's like, hit
you just run around and pin it in.
Yeah. Okay.
With your Drakes.
So
I guess we'll see that happen in your game versus Colin.
That's
right?
What everybody tells me.
Yes, because I will totally take Epic Hexy in that matchup.
Hey, who do you want to play against?
I told you take your best casters. So Pikrios.
And Rask.
Or Harbinger or Rask.
Those are like not my best casters in the Scorn matchup at all.
It's gonna be Fiora or
Fiora.
It might be Peace Heavy. I was thinking about playing Peace Heavy or,
could be Peace Heavy.
Or possibly High Reclaimer.
High Reclaimer is an annoying mother effer.
I'm pretty sure Scorn does not like that at all.
Why? Fiora craps on pretty much every Hordes list that
she's
plays
pretty,
heavies.
She's pretty rough.
Because she has more of them than you do, and they will all one round yours. Yeah. So we call bad news bears.
And they're also cheaper.
Hence why they can have more of them.
Yes.
Yep.
And they have Enliven.
So I do have Dojo. It's not the most exciting Dojo, but I like it. I'm excited for it. I've just been thinking about warders when they come out, and I keep thinking about lists that I want to make with them. I keep trying to fit them into a Pgressel list, and it's really hard. I don't know. It's because I want to put two units in, but then she can
only 18 points, 16
points. But then she can only hoof it one of them, and that really. You start getting these really weird positional problems, like in turns, because one of them, because they're so. First of all, the hoof it one only goes 12 inches anyway, which is as far as Creel Warriors go before they get hoof it. And so you're not really very far up the table. You're only like partially far up the table with five guys, and then the other guys, five guys, are 4 inches behind, and you're not really very relevant. It's just weird. I'm not saying it's bad. Like I think the warders are still. I think they're still probably going to be good with her, just because she does so many other things for them. But that's one of those times.
It catches up on the feet turn, maybe.
That's one of those times where, yeah. But then they're not doing anything on the feet turn. They're just running and engaging things.
I don't mind having bastions as a second wave.
But it's just one of those times where having the two units is really detrimental to just having one big unit. But, I mean, they're multi-wound infantry, so you can't expect a 10-man unit of armor 21 guys. So, Epic Gristle. I've never found a list with her that I liked playing before. Every list that I've made, it's always been, like, okay. And I'll play it against, like, I've played a couple lists against, like, decently good players, like Keith and John and everyone. And it's like, they'll always do fine. What the hell are you doing?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
Is he practicing turning over cards?
Yes. So.
I've never found a list with Epic Gristle that I really loved playing before, that I really liked. It just always felt like there was something missing. I don't know how to say that, I guess. But so this list I came up with, it's Epic Gristle, Bomber Impaler, Rune Bearer, two units of Warders, two units of Rune Shapers. No Janissa, which is odd, and I might change that. And then it's got the full Creel Stone, or maybe it's a Min Creel Stone. I've got two Sorcerers as well, attached to the units of Warders. So it just ends up being a lot of beefy troops and a lot of spellcasters and a lot of Pathfinder. And then Gristle can just stand in the middle of the army and just be
battle engine.
A battle engine.
To ash and yellow people.
She was the first battle engine caster.
Mm-hmm. I played it once against Fox, and I felt like the matchup was really terrible for me because it was P-Scar. But then once I killed all of the Satixis Raiders, which was annoying, Inhospitable Ground became a huge problem for his army. And then Gristle would just sit there and she'd cast Inhospitable Ground and she'd just throw out some shots, I'd be like, spray these three guys, they're all dead, like shoot my crescendo, like block off those guys from doing anything because now there's a Mage Storm in front of them effectively, you know? And, it was just really good and really fun. So here's the whole list. I finally pulled it up. War Room finally opened. Sorry, everybody. Epic Gristle, Rune Bearer, Dire Troll Bomber, Troll Impaler, Sorcerer, Kithkar. Max Creel Stone with UA, two units of Warders, two units of Rune Shapers, and Sons of Bragg.
I really like that list.
I like it a lot. Yeah.
Dash is so good in that list, too.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. So, yeah, because the Warders get up to speed 5, so they can actually run and be in, you know, a relevant portion of the table. The only thing that I don't like about it is just I wish I could fit Janissa in. But I've got so many other casters that need Janissa. And Gristle's 15-17, so she doesn't really...
Behind a sea of medium bases.
Behind, with reach.
Yeah. Well, she's always behind a sea of medium bases.
Not like that, though.
Not armor 21 medium bases with reach.
Yeah, it's different.
And unyielding on her feet turn.
I mean, that's how I protected Rask. Like, Gators engage everything.
And you want to look for matchups with that where she's going to be favorable against non-Pathfinder stuff.
Yeah, I really, really like it a lot. Because, yeah, the warders just, like, cloud out into the middle of the table. They just kind of threaten the world just standing there, and they're pretty unkillable. I love RuneShapers. Like, RuneShapers are amazing. Just, we've always said, like, you know, those guys, these guys are always worth their points, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And then speed 6 RuneShapers with dash, or with parry,
yep,
are so good.
They're walking into just really, really unfortunate spots and tremoring.
Yep.
Or doing whatever else.
That would be the one reason why I would want Janissa, is to get
Force Lock.
Force Lock in
Yeah,
places.
That's why I want Janissa.
Yeah.
It's not so much for Gristle, it's for the RuneShapers. But, I mean, between the two units of RuneShapers and the two Sorcerers, I have 8 models that can cast spells.
That's pretty cool.
So it's pretty, yeah, it's just, it's really, really fun right now. Like, I've only played it the one time, but I've been thinking about it a lot, and I liked it the one time I played it. It's just, it seems like a really fun list. And I finally found a list with Epic Crystal that I really want to start investing time in.
That's awesome. I think you should switch Mountain King in real quick.
Yeah.
Pick one hardcore.
Just take out the two units of warders and the Sons of Brag, I guess.
Yes. Mountain King is
like
clearly OP.
Yeah, suddenly is not as good. The one problem I had with it was that I didn't get to go first in the game that I played, and I really, really noticed because I could never fill the Creel Stone up. The Creel Stone was so dry that game. Just because she's so focus hunger, fury.
She's got work to do.
Yeah, she's got to boost everything and buy attacks and cast spells. And so, yeah, you really, really need to go first just to get 6 fury into that. Or not even 6, 5, because you have to cast dash on the first turn. So, yeah, that's the one thing that's kind of rough. But maybe we'll get a solo in the future that lets the Creel Stone take fury directly off of War Beasts.
That would be so good. Oh, my God. That'd be the most broken thing ever.
One thing that I find, the really surprising thing about this list is the Kithkar for 2 points. Like, guy's such a boss. He was just killing, because I put him next to the RuneShapers and the Sorcerer. And, yeah, whenever one of them died, he'd just be like, oh, that's 3 dead Banes. You know, he's just righteous vengeance. Kill 1, charge. Kill 2. Like for 2 points.
Yeah, no, he's great.
And then if he doesn't die, which he's pretty hard to kill. He's, you know,
13, 15 with 8 wounds.
12, 19. He's 12, 19 essentially.
I thought he was
with 8 wounds.
Mm-hmm.
No. He's a troll.
He's 12, 19 essentially with 8 wounds, and he's hard.
Oh, man.
But yeah, if he doesn't die, then he just prints more money the next turn. I don't know. It's really awesome.
Sounds sweet. I want to see that played. I do.
Yep. I've been really excited to keep trying it, and then we keep podcasting on our War Machine night.
No Fellcaller Hero?
No, unfortunately.
Warders are 7, though, right?
Matt 7, yeah.
Probably. And she can knock stuff down.
And I've got the Sons of Brag. Yeah. To be Matt 9. Yeah, she can knock stuff down. Pretty much everything in the list, because it's Warders are 7, RuneShapers are 7.
Yeah.
Sons of Brag are 7, 9.
It's like a retarded self-sufficient list, so you're just like, everything's self-sufficient, so Gristle can just do her thing.
It's got almost no support, which I like. Like, the support is the Creel Stone and a Rune Bearer.
I like that. A lot.
And then everything else does work. Like, those Sorcerers do work. Like, they're technically support, but what I've been doing with them is just having them log up and Ice Bolt things. You know?
Very cool.
Unless they're there just to be more POW 12s, more reliable POW 12s. But on the off chance that I ever play this list against a Denegra or something like that, then they'll be even better.
Yep. So, I like it a lot.
Awesome.
Strong.
So this is our third and final installment of our Lock and Load episodes. We may talk about it some more, but this is where we're doing the majority of it. So we're going to go through how our boys did in Masters, which was 90-some persons in a tournament.
I want to give a little spoiler and say that I was really proud of you guys, like all of us.
Thank you, John.
Colin, you did a good job. You did a really good job with coverage. I was really impressed,
yeah,
and I really appreciated it.
Yeah.
But between me, Keith, Chad, and Crump, we lost one game on day one between Masters and IG.
Sorry, guys.
And me. You can count me in that, too.
You didn't play
I didn't lose one either.
What's that?
I should have lost one. We'll get into it.
We'll get into it, yeah.
Yeah, you really failed, God.
1 in 27 games.
My first game, I played. So my 3 casters were Prime Gristle, that same list that I've been playing. It's that, that Adepticon list with the three lights and the long riders and everything. It's unchanged from then. Well, except that I had... It was my real list. So Max Creelstone, Saxon Orc instead of a Felcaller. And my second list was Epic Madrak, which is the same list that I was taking to that Texas tournament. I took out the Nis Hunters from my old Epic Madrak. I'll just go over the list, I guess. Epic Madrak, Bomber, Impaler, Runebearer, full unit of Fenblades with UA, full unit of Scattergunners with UA, minimum Creelstone with UA, Victor Pendrake, and a Felcaller and Burrowers, and a Witch Doc Croc. I love that list a lot. And then my third list was Epic Doomshaper. I guess that kind of changed my Gristle list because we had to take Janissa out of the Gristle list. So we just swapped in a Felcaller. So it wasn't as strong of a Gristle list. But
how did Gristle run without Janissa?
I only played her in the final round, so fine. I don't know. I was kind of checked out at that point. We'll get to it. And then the Doomshaper list was Mulg, Bomber, Earthborn, Axer, Runebearer, Janissa, Runeshapers, full Creelstone, and 10 Whelps. And I think that's it. First round, I got paired up against a guy named Kevin Barrett. He was the guy that I was telling you about that works at BioWare.
Oh, yeah, that guy seemed really awesome.
Yeah, he was really nice. He was playing Protectorate. I don't forget his three casters. I just remember that he did not have Krios 1 as one of his casters, and that I wanted to get rid of Doomshaper early on, and that I felt like there was no better turn, and there's no better round in any tournament than to get rid of your weakest caster than in the first round.
How dare you?
So I just dropped a turn. I'm sorry. So I just dropped Doomshaper round one. It was the scenario with two zones. The two circles on the middle of the table.
A flank out fight?
Yeah. And he deployed his Adjudicator in front of my left zone. So I deployed most of my army. I deployed my army in the middle, but they were sort of slanted. They were sort of, you know, offset to the left a little bit. And then he deployed almost the entirety of his army on the same side as the Adjudicator. So the right zone was almost completely there was almost nothing over there. On his turn, first turns, like, we both ran up and everything. He just walked with his Adjudicator and shot a couple of shots, and they all drift absolutely immaculately, like, right on top of Janissa, and it was scaring the crap out of me because I was like, ah, he's far enough away that I don't need to use Creelstone Aura the first turn. Save that Fury. She ended up getting down to 2 or 3 hit points.
Oh, no. Man, that's like every player's dream, too, to kill Janissa from downtown.
Yeah. No, and it was like, they were all like drifts, like 1 to 5, one, you know. It would be like, because he gets to drop the 2 templates per shot. And so it would be like the first template would like drift off in some like random direction forward a lot. And then it would drift in the exact right other direction to go like right on top of her. And I was just like, okay, this is awesome, I guess. He played Epic Fiora, I'm sorry. Epic Fiora, Adjudicator, Temple Flame Guard, Reckoner, and Sanctifier.
Interesting.
And some other random stuff. So on his turn, though, he basically, like, his Adjudicator walked up and shot. The rest of his army ran. And the Temple Flame Guard ran, but only, like, a couple of them were over to even, like, get to that right zone. So I had my Bomber walk up on my turn, and... he threw some bombs into the Temple Flame Guard and killed 1 or 2, I can't remember. And then he refuged into the right zone, and there was only, like, 1 Temple Flame Guard in charge range of him. And the rest of his army was completely on the other side of this obstruction in the middle of the table. And then Mulgan the Earthborn towed into the zone, and it was the perfect table for me. Oh, my God. The zone on the left had a water trap in it, and then less than 3 inches away from the water trap, there was a big house.
It's the Grail.
It was the Grail, yeah. So both Mulg and the Earthborn got to be +2 defense, +2 armor from the Earthborn animus. And they just sat in the zone and just sort of, like, crossed their arms.
They had their water wings on, just playing in the pool.
What? What? You can't step. So... So he charged his Temple Flame Guard in, and he had his adjudicator shooting more shots at trying to deviate onto Janissa. He got a couple more deviates onto her, but I got wise to it, and she was plus 4 armor now. So I was like, nope.
You're like Earthborn Animus on Janissa.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, Doomshaper doesn't need this.
That's so weird.
I know, right?
Doomshaper doesn't need the Earthborn Animus. Janissa needs it.
Well, he's got transfers.
I suppose she wasn't immune to fire first turn either.
I had to. Okay. Yeah, it was bad.
So the
luckily he rolled really. I think the fire actually went out.
Yeah,
but
why didn't you foresee this happening, Chad?
Because he's a noob.
Yeah, I guess.
Right.
long story short, that was the turn I ended up. His Temple Flame Guard that he charged. He got to charge one Temple Flame Guard into the bomber, and then it failed its command check. So I got to score a point on his turn. And then on my turn, I got to score another point, obviously. And I also popped Doomshaper's feet, and Mulg trampled through. Mulg trampled through the Temple Flame Guard, and then bought 5 attacks on the Judicator after the bomber had threw 2 bombs into him. The bomber did like 14 or something damage to it, maybe 16 damage to it, and then Mulg finished him off. I had 6 possible attacks I could buy on him because free trample and then 5 fury plus the free attack from Doomshaper's affinity. He killed it in 5, so my dice rolls were pretty good. But I think on average I still kill it. Especially if I've already done 16 do it from a bomber. And then my Earthborn trampled and killed the... I had my Runebearer swap... Doomshaper didn't even pop my feet this turn, if I remember. Yeah, I didn't even pop my feet. He just, because Mulg had to activate and trample with Wild Aggression to kill the Judicator, and then Doomshaper activated and swapped Wild Aggression to the Earthborn, and since the Earthborn was speed 7 from standing in water, he was already in range of getting to with Rush. He was already in range of getting to the Sanctifier, so he just trampled to the Sanctifier and killed it. And then he just had a Reckoner and Fiora to try and deal with Mulg and Earthborn. And my bomber was still scoring points in the other zone, and he really had nothing else that could go over to there. So on his turn, he had Fiora sort of flail ineffectively against an Earthborn. I say ineffectively, but he almost killed it. He brought it down very, very low. And then Mulg just sort of walked up next to her. I had Mulg... I was just overthinking my turn way too hard because Mulg was standing... She was right next to a Reckoner. And I was like, oh, man, like, even with Wild Aggression. Like, I can't get Wild Aggression on him, actually, because I had to swap it to my Earthborn. And then to get it back on Mulg, Doomshaper would have had to walk up into the middle of, like, this giant sea of dudes. And I was like, I'm not even going to do that, like, even though it's almost a sure thing. So, and then I have Mulg, like, if I have Mulg try and hit Fiora, he needs tens to hit, like, because of that Reckoner. Like, that's super...
That's super scary.
That's super dicey. Well, I guess I can just... punch the Reckoner, and then I killed the Reckoner in the first 2 initials. I forgot how damaged it was. Yeah. The Earthborn, like, killed the Sanctifier and then got to do, like, a couple of damage to the... or a couple of attacks to the Reckoner. So then Mulg just killed the Reckoner, and then he just one-shot Fiora. So that was the end of the... That was the end of round one.
Nice.
Yeah, it was, It was the kind of first round that you want, not like a Jason Watt or a Jake Van Meter.
No disrespect.
None at all.
Right.
I loved Kevin, actually. Like, he was an amazing opponent.
So you said he worked for BioWare, right?
Yeah. We actually, like, before the game started, I, like, kind of felt like a little fanboy.
Yeah?
Because he was wearing the shirt that had a BioWare print on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you work for BioWare? Or is, like, do you know someone that got you that shirt or something? He was like, oh, no, I used to be the... He said he was like the lead design or something like that, like, for them for a while, like, and he ended up leaving, like, just after Jade Empire. I was like, man, I loved all those games. Like,
what's BioWare's feature title?
Mass Effect.
Oh yeah.
KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, The Old Republic.
Dang.
Dragon Age. BioWare is like a huge.
Didn't they also do
Dragon Age?
Dragon Age. Didn't they also do no? Who did BioShock?
That's not BioWare.
I know who did that though.
Like EA or something? No.
No, BioShock is done by the same guys that did System Shock and Deus Ex, and those are all... I don't remember. It's a different...
Whatever. They have a lot of good games.
Yes.
Anyway, so in Masters, I played three casters. I'll go into the list as I get to the rounds that I played them in. The casters were Damiano, Shea, and Bart. Round one, I played against a Crix player. In two of his lists, he had Blood Witches, so I auto-bowled out of Shea into either Bart or Damiano. Chose Damiano because I am in Highborn and have Gun Mages. He played Peacegar with a Kraken, and then both units of Satixus thingies, Bane Knights, Tartarus, whatever. I won the die to go first. I ran a bunch of stuff. He pre-deployed his Kraken on the left side of the field. This is the scenario with two giant circles. And so I knew I had to commit the majority of my army to that half. So I put my Forge Guard on the left side. Oh, I should tell what's on my list. Rocinante is on my list. So is Eris, Gorman, Rupert, Boom Howlers, Steelhead Riflemen, Alexei and the Risen, and Arcane Tempest Gun Mages. I may be missing a solo, but whatever. So I deployed most of my crap on the left with Eris and the Arcane Tempest Gun Mages on the right. And to the left zone, he committed pretty much just Blood Witches. So it was Arcane Tempest Gun Mages versus Blood Witches on the one half of the table, and then the rest of his army versus the rest of my army on the other side. I kind of left my stuff out of Satixus threat ranges and kind of, he ran forward, so he just ran forward, clumped a lot of his Satixus up as well as his Blood Witches. On my next turn, I committed three Boom Howlers to the zone, as well as one Forge Guard and maybe like one other model. So I was giving him an opportunity to like, dominate that zone and get 2 points. But if he did, I was going to retaliate and kill his entire army for the most part because the dwarves had vengeance on them. And they were all going to get to walk forward in vengeance. So 9 vengeance attacks, pretty much, plus 9 activating dwarves will kill the world.
Yep.
The last thing in my list were hammer dwarves. But on my turn, he kind of ran the Satixus Raiders a little too far forward, and two of my steelheads were able, I thought, to get beads on the Satixus Raider UA, so Damiano money shotted them and dead-eyed them and dead-eyed the Gun Mages. And through both of those, I was able to snipe out the Blood Witch Hag and the Satixus Raider UA before they had many feated. So he had to use Peacegar's feet defensively and had a had controlled or dominated the zone when he feated defensively. And then I decided to try to kill the Kraken on Peacegar's feet turn because I was just like, well, this will be fun. So Damiano feated, Rustbomb the Kraken, and then a combination of like 3 Forge Guard plus Rocinante plus Alexia took it down. And at that point,
what armor is the Kraken base?
19.
So it goes to 24?
Yep, and then minus 5 back to 19.
Oh, I see.
Right. So my feet and Rustbomb negated his feet, and then Rocinante walked up at like 4 dice minus 2 attacks. And then, like, 3 Forge Guard.
Yeah, it'll do some work.
And Alexia.
Mm-hmm.
Alexia had to spend, like, almost all but 2 Risen to finish it off, but...
Worth it against a Colossal.
Right.
Yeah, seems good.
And then the Forge Guard actually had... This was kind of a funny part of the game. The Forge Guard got their Vengeance. I needed 5s to hit Satixus. All 5 of my Forge Guard missed, so they spent, like, their activation killing them. But killed the Kraken, and most of the stuff on that side of the table was dead, and so it left this odd Peacegar assassination to try to kill Damiano. And he walked up and he tried to scar bomb Damiano. Did a few points of quite a bit of damage because I wasn't camping any, and then tried to cast a hellfire at Damiano, which at this point in the game costs 6 because Peacegar is standing 2 inches away from Alexia.
No.
So
hacks.
That was that game. Sam, it was a really fun game. I played against Sam from Seattle. And it was pretty much just me getting to snipe out the 2 UAs before they could mini-feet was the defining point of that game. And it made him feet defensively, and then it just was all downhill from there, pretty much.
I think we're going to make an executive decision and do day 1 on this podcast.
Sure.
And do day 2 on the next one.
That's fine. I can start speeding up, too. My round 2 was against Richard Nilsson, who I found out is from Sweden. He's on the WTC team for Sweden, actually. So
I talked to that guy. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's really sweet.
He is amazing. He's a really, really cool guy, actually.
Like, very cool. And a much better Gator player than I am.
I wish I could have... I wish we could have... just spent a little bit more time, like, casually chatting, because we basically spent the time after our round doing it, but that's pretty much all I saw him all weekend. No, but he was amazing. His three lists were... He was playing Gators, and his three lists were Rask, Maelok, and Barnabas. And I saw that he played Maelok in the prior round. And of the three casters, I was pretty much the least worried about Maelok. So I was like, okay, well, he's not going to drop Maelok twice in a row. So I'm going to have to, you know, either play against Rask or play against Barnabas. And, you know, I don't like Doomshaper against either of those casters at all. And I don't like Gristle, especially against either of them. Gristle might have been fine because if he takes one that has mostly Gator Posse, then I can shut down the orders and stuff. But I felt like Madrak just in general sort of face rolls Gators, just sort of in general. So I was like, oh, that's pretty good. Let's go with Epic Madrak. He dropped Maelok again, to my surprise, and to my initial enjoyment. You know, I was like, oh, sweet, like Maelok. I'm the least worried of him. And then I ended up learning a number of things during this game about Maelok and how good he is. This was the zone, or the Into the Breach scenario with the zone and the flag. He ran his Gators up. I had my pigs wait to burrow until second turn, so they were going to pop up third turn. So his list was three Gators, three Gator Posse, two Witch Doctors, three Bull Snappers, and a Thralg, and possibly other random support.
Three Gatorman Posse is, I've decided,
so
always
good. So he
puts
Death Pact on the middle Gatorman Posse, and then he has the two Gator Witch Doctors undeading the other two units. So all of the models are undead. The Death Pact unit is plus two armor, so their armor 18 when you're shooting at them and 20 when engaged. And then on his feet, everything that's undead gets another plus two armor, so all of the Gators are 18, 20, and then the Death Pact unit is 20, 22. And then he has random spiny growths to go out on the army, so random spot Gators are, you know, armor 22 or armor 24.
Well, this sounds like,
and he's
miserable.
Got revive.
Yeah, miserable.
It was awful. But I mean, Madrak, the one thing he does is he crushes armor, so I felt okay about it. I ended up playing the game extremely poorly. And I fed my unit of Fenblades to Gators with almost no retaliation. I killed like three Gators, three Gatorman Posse, and then he killed almost all of the Fenblades. Then my Burrowers popped up the next turn, and I was like, and that was his feet turn, which I was able to shut down his feet mostly with Spirit Chaser Aura, so he couldn't charge through my lines. He could just get to the front, but it still allowed him to make, you know, excellent use of his feet just moving through his own models, which just being able to ignore your own models is so powerful of an ability.
Like, I can tell you, after playing three units of Gatorman Posse, I got a lot better as I played more games positioning my Gators for the next turn.
Yeah.
But you really have to think about that, because it's easy to get jammed up and gummed up.
Yeah, and you just, when you're positioning your own models, you look at the table and you think like, okay, well, I don't have to worry about those back guys because they're going to be jammed up, and then they charge through and, you know, you suddenly have to worry about a lot more threats from a lot of different angles that you didn't expect. It was pretty good. So anyway, the turn my Burrowers pop up, I have this plan to put Blood Fury on them and then have Madrak charge off towards the flag. And it was sort of a poor thought out plan anyway, because if I had been paying attention, I would have noticed that I had only a couple of models in the zone at this point. And you score 2 points off the zone and only 1 point off the flag, so it's sort of a bad gambit to go for the flag over the zone. But that was my plan. I got sort of excited, though, and I charged Madrak off before casting Blood Fury, so the pigs were just sort of sitting off on their own with no Blood Fury. With no Blood Fury, pig burrowers do not do work against Armor 20 and Armor 22 Gators.
Not really, no.
Whereas with it, I feel like I probably kill three or four.
Well, they also don't auto-hit either, so...
That's true as well. I had backstrikes on most of the...
Yeah, that helps.
Because I was able to do the turn three burrow, or the turn two burrow, turn three pop-up. So... Backstrikes on most of them, not giving them the engagement bonus as well. Like, I think I probably killed three or four Gators, whereas I killed zero.
Uh-oh.
So that was a very bad turn for attrition, although I was able to score a point on the flag. Then he scored 2 points in the zone after only killing 3 models. Yeah. At this point, and then he still has almost all of his gators left, and I am down to a handful of pygmies, a handful of scattergunners, a bomber and an impaler and Madrak, and just like, I'm looking at the table just going like, wow, I couldn't have possibly screwed this game up more.
Seems bad, Chad.
Well, seems bad.
This is actually a point, I think it was right around this point. I was standing about 5 feet behind you, and Mandy, John's wife, comes up to me and just goes, how's Chad doing? I'm like, I don't know. It's not looking too good. And then I swear to God, Chad turned around and just gave me the death stare.
I don't remember this at all.
You definitely turned around.
It happened.
And gave
me I was there.
Okay. Yeah.
I definitely wasn't playing my own match.
I believe it.
Yeah.
It was bad.
It was pretty bad.
It was super bad. I was definitely going to lose that game. I sort of just mentally scooped at this point. I was like, I've made too many. Like, mistake number one, I gave away my fen blades for nothing. Mistake number two, I didn't really utilize my scatter gunners. Like, I could have, like, lined up sprays with the feet and everything like that. And POW 12 shooting is really good against gators, I figured out. Or I was told later by Richard. I forgot to cast the Blood Fury on the burrowers. You know, I, like, goofed by going towards the flag instead of the zone. Like, I just, like, the mistakes had just been piling up at this point. And I just sort of mentally scooped out of this game. I was like, okay, well, you know, round two, like, I hit a really good player, and the rust hasn't fallen off yet, and I wasn't clearly ready to go up against this caliber of play. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm pretty much done with this game, whatever. So Madrak spent all of his fury clearing the gators next to the flag so that I could at least score my second point and just, you know, go out with some kind of dignity. And I'm, like, killing his gators, too. Like, it was so bad. Like, I'm killing his gators and being like, well, at least I get that fury back for, like, you know, the Madrak's axe killing a living model. And he's like, nope, they're all undead. I was like, freaking witch doctors. So I spend my very last fury point to Tide of Death back into the flag. So I score my second point. And then Madrak's, the Creostone is way on the other side of the table since I charged. So Madrak is not inside the Creostone aura, camping zero, and has no warrior models standing next to him.
He seems like he should die.
If he should ever die, it is at this point in time.
I mean, normally I would tell a player, you can't kill Madrak, and I'd say, look into my eyes, focus on me, you can't kill Madrak. But in this situation, I might say, yeah, kill him.
Yeah, that's what I was. I pretty much, like I said, I just mentally quit out of this game. I was just like, yeah, you got this, buddy. Like, I wasn't even mad or anything. I was just like, you know,
mistakes were made.
Yeah, I was like, I've made too many, like, the mistakes are just, there's too many mistakes. We're past the point of no return. You got it. And so I think he saw the situation that was going on. He's like, yeah, that's a super dead Madrak. Like, wow. So he has Maelok activate, cast revive twice. Putting him on zero. Revives 2 gators in charge range, and then there was a 3rd gator already in charge range. The 2 gators charge in. The first gator does a bunch of damage. The 2nd gator misses on his charge attack and then does a bunch of damage. And the 3rd gator brings me to tough on his charge attack. I make my tough check. 2nd attack, I'm armor 17. He only needs a 5 to kill. Rolls the 5. 2nd tough check.
Wait, Madrak's base 17?
Yep.
Boosh.
Two chuff checks in a row. I'm like, okay, something's going to happen now. And then the witch doctor walks up and goes, sack strike. Kills one of the gators that charged me for a pass 16. Auto-hitting. 3rd tough check. I make it.
Oh, God.
I don't even know what to say at this point in time.
Did you apologize? That's pretty sure that's what
I apologized about 500 times.
Yeah.
John, I was like, if this was me, I'd be flipping the table right now. He was like, yeah, I hate tough too. I was like, I know, man. Like,
John, you never try to kill Madrak.
He then Maelok is on 0 and he's like 10 inches away, or he's like 16 inches away from Madrak or something, which is well within the walk and throw range. I spent some time with my scattergunners clearing off like a couple of the gators that were blocking up my bomber. He activated and threw 2 bombs, hit both times, and brought Maelok down to like 4 or 5 or something like that.
And then I just had to have Madrak activate and walk over there. He's being engaged by two gators, but I could just have two guys. I just had two guys walk up next to him so he could be like, Grim Salvation the first one, Grim Salvation the second one.
They're like, what do you mean go stand by Madrak? Just go stand by him. What? Really? Yeah, just stand by him. It's fine.
Yeah. Hey, I owe Madrak $5. Could you go give this to him?
No!
No!
No, sir.
Relax.
So Madrak walks over. I measure my control radius. I have to cast Snipe to get my axe to throw at him. I cast it. I throw the axe at him and kill him. And we're just like, wow, that was the stupidest game ever. And then we're kind of writing down our points and things afterwards. And then and then Richard goes, wait a minute. This was like after we'd already been talking for like 10 minutes. We hadn't really moved any of our models or anything. We just were kind of like talking about the game and like talking in general. And he was like, correctly saying that, you know, he got greedy. Like, I wouldn't have agreed that he got greedy when he was going for it, but like all he needed to do was just back up into the zone. I had literally nothing that could get to the zone, like he already dominated it once.
Oh yeah.
So all he needed to do was just back up and have Malak be extra super safe, dominate the zone again, and then just like, you know, win on like a surefire win rather than a 95% win, you know, of killing Madrak.
Can I just point out that I did that a lot, and
going for the 100% rather than the 95%.
Yeah, and I just want to point out that, like, Will Pagani was trying to get me to come in and try and kill Axis, and I was like, "Nah, I think I'll just score these points because eventually I'm going to win," you know. And he's like, "Okay, shake."
That's smart.
Yeah.
Although I don't. On the other hand, though, I don't like that kill was. I can't think of a more surefire kill. Like, I mean, tough is just stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
He should have probably brought me to four tough checks.
But yeah, that was fortunate because I'm sure.
But he missed one of them.
He went for rerolls, right? So.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, he had to miss, which is
It was bad. So then after a while, he looks down at the table and he goes, "Wait a minute! There's a Thrall standing right next to Madrak, like 4 inches away. When you cast Snipe, wouldn't that have killed him?"
Cast it in
an hour. And I just started cackling like a madman, like in the middle. I was like, oh my god, this was the stupidest game of all time. I was just like erasing my win off of my sheet. Yeah. And I'm just going like, you got this. Like, even if I make the tough check, then like he falls down and I don't get to throw the axe. Like,
then
I was just
like 10 more tough checks.
I was like, you got this game, man. Like, I couldn't have screwed up this game colossally like more ways. Like, you even like, I went for like, I even got like the tough check win from God. And, like, still managed to screw it up. And he was like, well, you could have just cast Snipe before you moved. Or you could have healed yourself for one because I had extra fury left after I killed him. He's like, there's so many things you could have done to prevent that. I was just like, you know what? I was like, I'll let you decide whether or not you want this win or not. Because, like, I am totally cool giving this up for you. Like, I screwed this game up so many. Like, I don't feel good about this win. Like, there's no way I'm going to feel good about this win. And he was just like, we already wrote it down. You just turn your sheet in.
What a classy guy.
Mad props.
Yep.
Because I think that if I was in the same situation, like, I probably would have done the same thing. But I still give him mad props because I don't think that most people would do that.
What's his name one more time?
Richard Nilsson.
All
right. He's a well-known Gator player.
He's on the WTC for Sweden.
Yeah, he's really good.
And I have tremendous respect for his play now. Like, he kicked my ass with Gators.
Hopefully someone else will knock them out.
Or when he throws up his Gators, you're not like, Madrak steamrolls Gators, right? Because I normally would be like, yeah, give me him. Let me go. I'll be like,
I'm going to put you up again and make you play it right this time.
Yeah. Oh, man. I told him this. I was like, I think I could have made it more of a game. He was like, I think so, too. I was like, I bet you have a tremendously low opinion of me right now. He was like, I know how it goes. So.
Oh, Gad.
Right, so, yeah, I just. Three tough checks. And then that was the story for the rest of the day. Sorry, that round took a long time, but
that's okay. It's an excellent story. So
my round two, I sit down.
Oh, God, round two? All right.
Across from Craig Conroy.
Craig Conroy.
Who at this point in time, to me, is just some random dude. He's just like, hey, I'm Craig, you know, whatever, and we're talking. And then, so he's sitting down with, Circle and his three lists are Morvana, 2, Kruger 2, Cro-Mac. And I felt like Shay had a pretty good game against all those lists because pirates love to RFP skinwalkers and turn them into other pirates.
Oh, man.
And pirates will kill, like, a ton of things dead. Like circle heavies just die. Like, the Commodore can just, like, shoot that circle heavy. All right, four pirates killed it. Huzzah! You know. So I sat down with Shay, and he sat down with Epic Kruger, and he was just like, oh, crap. I thought you were going to play Bar Galleon. And so I won the die to... Did I win it? I think, yeah, I went first because I got plus one to go first because I was playing a theme force, Agents of Jord. My list was Vanguard, Galleon, Bosun, Doc Hawk, Rock Bottom, Dirty Meg, full press gangers, full sea dogs, plus walls, plus three riflemen, Commodore cannon, and then a min unit of sea dogs. Ion and Holt were not in this list because they were with Bart Galleon. And Shay, I felt like the list had enough armor cracking with just the Galleon. So what was the scenario called?
Into the Breach.
Yeah, Into the Breach, which has the flag and the giant circle. So I kind of ran the Galleon over to the circle and just kind of towed it in so that, you know, if he wants to ever score in that zone, he has to commit heavies to killing my Galleon. And then all the pirates just kind of ran forward and dirtled. He went up, I think this is turn two or something, double stones a stalker into a primal stalker into my Galleon. Punches it a ton, leaves it with, like, 10 boxes or something. The next turn, Meg comes up. He leaves it with, like, 4 boxes, which are, like, left arm, cortex, movement, and something. So I allocated 3 focus, and then Meg repairs the right arm, and I just 2-shot a stalker to death. This dice plus 4.
Yeah, no,
like, it just dies.
I didn't say it was... Just fun. Yeah, I love it when Warpulls get 2-shotted. I'm sorry.
Boost a hit. Boost damage. Boost a hit. It's dead.
Yep. Yeah. And then so at this point, a bunch of the... He had feated the turn that he had also committed the Stalker to the Galleon, so my pirates were slow. But because Galleon was in the zone, like, he couldn't score points. And also my pirates were getting pushed into the Galleon, so they weren't out of the zone either. And then he cast Stormwall, but a few of my pirates, he had put, his list had 2 units of, Wool Shrimps and 2 units of, Pharaoh Slaughterhousers, and he had put the Wool Shrimps far enough forward that my pirates were still able to, like, walk forward and take shots at them with their cannon, with their pistols, and I killed, like, 3 or 4 of them. Then he went, and at this point, like, things are going kind of bad for him, because I haven't lost a model yet. He was trying to get rid of Doc and stuff, but my Doc was sitting right next to a Vanguard, and so it was pretty difficult for Wool Shrimps to hit Doc, first of all, and then there's a Vanguard for the one occasional that hits, and I had made, like, almost all my top checks so far at this point, of the, like, 5 that he had made me do. So, at some point, he tries to go for some assassination on Shay. The following turn, the turn he goes to assassinate me, he had put Getarix into the Colossal to finish it off, and then he kind of sits there for a few minutes and thinks about going against this assassination with Shay. Shay's camping 2 on this turn. He has to TK Bosun out of the way, so Kruger has to advance 6 inches, TK Bosun out of the way, and then once he TKs Bosun out of the way, try to shoot Kruger to death with, or try to shoot Shay to death with Kruger's gun. He TKs Bosun, fails to hit, needs like 6s. And just didn't roll it. Then TKs him again. Shoots Shay. Hits. At this point, he's on 2 focus? Or 2 fury? Right, because TKs 2. Another TKs 4. So he has 3 left. Shoots Shay. Boost the hit. Boost damage. Push Shay to, like, I don't know, 7 hit points or something. And then buys an attack. And I live.
Yeah, obviously. That seems pretty...
Well, when he missed the first TK, it was, like, out of the window.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So the following turn, just to sum it up, Shay used his feet. Hawk charged Kruger, who's camping 0, failed to kill him, and then just Shay finished the job off himself. So.
Seems, yeah. All right.
Seems good.
Nice.
Round 3?
My round 3. This is the first time I can't remember a player's name, and I feel really bad because I can picture his face perfectly. And it's like, I feel like it's just on the tip of my brain. But so I apologize. He said he was a fan, so that makes me feel extra bad. But he was playing Protectorate again, and his 3 lists were Krios 1, 2, and 3. So I was like, Don't want any of Krios 1.
Oh, my God. Krios 1, 2, and 3 would be so much fun.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I would play.
I may have to do that.
But I had to drop Madrak again because I like that matchup versus everything, and Madrak's the only caster that I'm playing that I feel like can really have a great chance at surviving Krios 1. Although maybe Gristle would have been okay since I had the rune, or since I had the Chronicler. Like, I could have made my Tuffalo immune to his feet, essentially. That's Feign Death.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I dropped Madrak. He drops Krios 3. His list had Errants, and then a bunch of heavy warjacks for Warpath. It was an odd selection too, if I remember correctly. It was Reckoner, what's the Thyra's jack?
Blood of Martyrs.
Blood of Martyrs, yeah. And crap. I think a Vanquisher. I'm not sure. I was playing, you know, Epic Madrax, like my army kills heavies really easily. The scenario was, I forget that too. I think it was maybe, no, we played that in the final round. Do you remember what the scenario was in third round? Crump is thinking.
It involved a flag.
Yeah, it was two flags.
Fire support?
Yep, fire support. That's the one.
Yep.
Two objectives, two flags.
No. Anyway, it's unimportant. His list, his list also had Vengers in it. I deployed the Fenblades on the side of the Vengers. And that actually ended up being super relevant because...
Hard.
They were hard.
I hate you both so freaking much you don't even know.
I think I know because I pretty much hate them right now.
So I had my Scattergunners were just blowing up his Errants even with Holy Ward. I just kept catching like three or four like of the Errants in per spray. And I was like, oh, sometimes nines hit. Like when you have three chances per Scattergunner, like I'd be like, oh, killed one. Oh, killed another one. All right, let's keep going. Like, so I ended up just whittling his Errants down, and then he'd charge in, and then I'd be like, no, I'm aiming, you know, with the guys in the back, like, bloop, bloop, bloop. Ended up killing them, pretty, without contention, really. And then he had all of his Vengers sort of behind this forest, and they were too afraid to come out and fight the Fenblades, because the Fenblades out-threat them. Or it's the same threat, actually, but with Vengeance, we out-threat them. So I would have, like, two... Fenblades like sitting up front, just like, well, you can't impact attack through us, so you have to charge us directly. And then,
like a rock.
It was pretty bad. I ended up,
It was just close quarters.
Yeah, it was close quarters.
There were just two flags, close quarters. That was it.
It was just close quarters. Yeah, I ended up just scoring my flag with Madrak. And then sort of slowly whittling down his army like you do. I had a really good feat turn that caught all the Vengers and all of the remaining Errants and, like, I think finished off one of his Warjacks. But I ruled really crappily, and the Mat 8 Fenblades, Mat 8 Weapon Master Fenblades couldn't kill two of the Avengers, which was unlikely. But it didn't really matter. Like, I ended up catching a Saxon Auric with one of the Fenblades, and like I said, he was pretty much parked behind a forest all game long, and so he was relying on that reconnaissance. Krios ended up getting stuck behind the forest, and then he had this amazing last-ditch assassination plan on Madrak, because I was camping... Yeah, I think I was camping zero, but I had three or four guys standing next to me, but he was like, spells doesn't... You know, he's like, magic attacks don't cause Grim Salvation. I was like, you are correct. And he was like, if these two choir members charge these two burrowers... I forgot about the burrowers. I was... All day long, I was committing the burrowers into the errants. I was like, I'll just... You know, because I kept fighting against errants with...
This is going to end up great.
I kept fighting errants... No, it did. I kept fighting burrowers against Def 14 errants in some way or another. Holy Ward or Awe or Defender's Ward or whatever. But I'd be like, oh, like, I can charge two burrowers in per errant and then pretty much, like, kill five errants
for just the low cost of six burrowers, like, that seems worth it to me. And, like, sometimes more if they self-sack two guys in the back, and then I still have, you know, four attacks per... Each attack is likely to kill. Like, I just need the eights to hit. But I have four chances at it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that bad.
And it's, you know, it's a charge attack. Like, even the POW eights with the charge attack, you only need nines on three dice. And then if they hit with a slug gun, it's anything but.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah, so the burrowers would charge in, kill five errants, and then the scattergunners would, like, tag off, like, one or two, and the unit was mostly dead on the first turn. Anyway. So he had this last-ditch assassination on Madrak where he's like, if I have my two choir members charge your two burrowers and kill them, then Krios has enough room to, like, walk through, like, walk out of the forest and walk through this, like, opening caused by the dead burrowers and then try and get two crevasses on Madrak, and if I roll bonkers, like, he might die. I was like, if you kill me, I will shake your hand and smile. Like, this is going to be amazing. And the two choir charged, and they actually did it. They kill the burrowers. I'm like, it's happening. This is glorious. And he, like, walks up, and then he just has to roll a hard seven to hit Madrak, and he doesn't, and he misses it. I was like, oh.
Oh, God.
So anticlimactic. I was actually kind of looking forward to dying at that point. Because after I just, like, pulled out of, like, the last round in the most, like, terrible game I've ever played, like, I was like, I don't deserve to win this tournament. Like, but, yeah, I was just having fun for the rest of the day, pretty much. He failed to kill Madrak with Krios, and then my bomber just finished him off, and Madrak was in charge range anyway. So that was my round three. It was a really, really relaxed and awesome game.
That was sort of the theme for Lock and Load. I didn't have really conscious games at all.
I'm super sad that I'm super sad that I can't remember the guy's name, because he was a really super chill guy. Like, he was awesome to talk to. Like, we just chilled and talked for a little while, like, after the game was over. And, you know, yeah, it was, I kept meeting, like, awesome people, like, all weekend long. So if I think of the name, I'll say something or post something, but I feel really bad about it right now. It's the same for my next round, so sad.
So round three, I played against probably my favorite circle player, Gord, one of the Grotz guys. God, I love those guys, especially Gord, because his...
Can I tell you a quick story about Gord real quick?
I guess, yeah. Oh, sure.
Spoiler, like, Gord made top eight.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, that's really sweet. You ever made a top eight before? And he's like, yeah, last year at Lock and Load. And I was like, oh, yeah.
I'm an asshole. No, Gord is, I love that guy, especially because he plays Circle in the unconventional fashion in the way that I did. And so it's really nice talking strategies with him. Like, for example, he took Peak High at a Hardcore.
Love it.
He, like, we were talking about that, and she's actually pretty solid in the way Hardcore is now, because she doesn't have to commit forward, like, at all to do anything. I don't know what's happening right now. But anyway, keep kind of sweet. So round three, I play against Gord.
Oh, thanks.
It's close quarters. He sits down with P. Kruger, and his P. Kruger list is really interesting. I want to talk to him more about it. It's got two World Wardens in it, and then a Feral, good Stalker. There we go. And a Gorax. Two units of Shifting Stones, and then the... Not Blood Witches.
Blood Draggers.
Nope. The ones that are like Blood Witches.
Blood Weavers.
There you go. And those. And I sit it down with Bar Galleon, because that list... I felt like none of his lists could really kill Galleon. Boy, was I wrong. So, I go first. I just kind of run everything up, bat down the hedges, and run Bart pretty close to the flag. So, starting next turn, I was planning on feeding turn two, so that way I could get a point on bottom of two, because he can't get anything close enough to the flag, because it just falls over. And on his turn, So on bottom of two, he casts some chain lightnings targeting my vanguard, and Wrong Eye is three jumps away from my vanguard. The first one gets three jumps, so it doesn't get, two jumps, so it doesn't get to him. The second one gets three jumps, gets to Wrong Eye. He boosts damage and rolls like 6/6/5 or something, and Wrong Eye dies.
Got you.
And I was just like, oh, shiz. So at this point in the game is way downhill for me. And so Kruger because Kruger had to cast the other chain lightnings. Or no, he rolled just enough to leave Wrong at one, and then cast another chain lightning chained to him again and put the final point of damage on him. So Kruger's chilling on a hill on one. And I'm just like, all right, I guess I'm going to try to kill that guy because this scallion is going to die to anything now because there's a Warpulse Stalker and a Feral like 10 inches from it.
Oh, God.
So,
yeah.
And there's no longer a feat. So I have Bart allocate 3 to the Galleon, and Galleon's got a fairly decent shot at actually killing Kruger. And Dougal walks up, is like, you know, artillerist, whatever. Galleon rotates so that he can see Kruger with all the guns forever, and I roll up 2 shots total.
And you know, if you cared and fed for your Galleon a little better, like, it probably would treat you better.
Yeah,
look at how Keith takes care of his. I'm just saying.
But I had scored a scenario point at this point. And then on my turn, I failed horribly to kill Kruger because I boosted hit as dice minus 1. And I think I forced him to transfer because it's, you know, whatever. Boosted damage. Boosh. The second shot missed. Steved. Did a couple points to him. And then I boosted to hit the harpoon, and the harpoon missed. Because the harpoon, I needed 12. The other ones, I needed 7s.
Sure.
Or 10s, rather. You know, so at this point, like, I end my turn, I score a second scenario point, he goes forward, kills my galleon, whatever, from a primal feral and a stalker, punching it together, and then my vanguard, I allocated it some 3 focus, because it had been chilling next to his flag in close quarters, and it kind of turns around and punches the stalker in the back arc, the one that had killed the galleon, and kills it, you know, puts about 10 damage on it, half kills it about. And then the following turn, so now on that turn I had scored 3 points. Like, I had to kill like an infantry model or something. So now I'm up to 3 points. And he primals the stalker that's half dead and sort of walks it over to Bart. And attacks Bart a bunch, fails to kill Bart. Bart's on like 4 health or something. And runs these blood witches over here, the blood weavers over, in such a way that I'm going to live this super sweet dream that I'm never going to live again in my life, and sets up this chain where I can kill 2 blood weavers and then kill a blood weaver and a shifting stone, or 2 blood weavers, and then get to a stalker at pal plus strength 16. So, like, dice off 1, and the stalker's already half dead. Then kill the stalker, buy an attack on a shifting stone. At this point, I'm pal plus strength 17, so kill a shifting stone, and then overtake back into the flag and score my 4th scenario point.
That's amazing.
Didn't happen. Could not roll any dice ever.
Yeah, I thought this was like a real story.
I'm like, Gord, this is going to be the greatest turn ever. I'm like, explaining what's going to happen. He's like, oh, that's going to be awesome. Because, like, there's no way, like, I can't win this game at this point. Or, like, I can't lose. Or he can't lose this game. Like, he's got a gajillion things.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I'm just like, this is going to be sweet. Blood quenched. Overtake. This is happening. And Bart crapped all over me. But that was that game. It was really fun to play against Gordon. And I love talking to that guy about Circle. He's got a bunch of really cool ideas. So
sweet.
Nice.
That was round 3.
My round 4. I played against a Harbinger. It was my 3rd Manoth of the day.
You love that, didn't you?
It just meant a lot of more epic Madrak. It was all epic Madrak all day. It was pretty much a kind of standardish Harbinger list. Errants. It had Bastions in it.
And I kind of like Bastions with the new Seneschal and Harbinger. Mm-hmm. Seems like it'd be pretty good.
It had Reckoner Avatar as the 2 jacks and a Devout. Devout, not super relevant in this case since Madrak has no offensive spells. But I just played we were playing an attrition game, and I was actually, like, doing a really... I was doing a... Like, this was probably the most chill game I'd played all day, and I'd played a lot of chill games. I'm sorry. I can picture your face perfectly. I actually kept running into this guy, like, all weekend long and just sort of chatting with him in general. So I feel extra super bad that I can't remember his name. I'm sorry.
So you now forgot more names than Keith did?
Yes. I feel super bad about it. How do you live, Keith?
At least he didn't call him the wrong name. Why don't you call him, like, Jacob or something?
One day at a time.
Make it up.
One day at a time.
Oh, actually, call him Brian. It's the universal.
It wasn't Brian, though.
I know, but...
I can almost remember their names.
I feel, because I keep thinking about what I was writing on my sheet, and I can almost visualize it, but it's just not coming. I feel bad too, because he was another fan of the show. So sorry, if you're listening, feel free to let us know.
Chad, we hate our fans.
No, we're fans of our fans.
Wait, I love my fans.
I don't get it. Anyway,
I guess he sweats a lot. Fan blows cold air. I mean,
that's terrible.
What?
Anyway, I was surprisingly out attritioning Harbinger. I know. I know that got you awake, John.
A grave error has been made somewhere.
My scattergunners were just rolling nines like bosses, like not like ridiculous, but probably like twice as much as they should be. So you know,
that's ridiculous.
That's a little ridiculous.
Out of every two sprays, I was killing probably two errants. Like I would say, I was probably killing about an errant a spray, but I was catching three.
That's per, right.
You know,
that's what it should be.
I don't know, it seemed really good.
So you should just be? Straight.
Well, and he also wasn't martyring a lot because I think he was respecting the bomber Impaler Madrak. So they were dying instead of being martyred. And then the Bastions were sort of slow to the game. They had to kind of fight their way around an Avatar. Avatar plus Enliven proved to be kind of a problem because he had a book in this list. I was telling this to people all day long. I had Pendrake in my list, and I kept playing against Menoth with it. Because Pendrake makes Burrowers really, really good against Legion and Circle.
Yeah.
And then I kept playing against Menoth all day long because I like Madrak. I just like that matchup with Madrak a lot. And they would always be like, oh, Pendrake's not going to do very much in this game, huh?
He knocks something down.
Yeah. With three lists, character restrictions, they can only have the book in one list. So all day long it kept being like, I'm going to enliven this Jack. He'd just go, nope.
He'd just be like, bolo around the legs. Enjoy that.
So
he'd look over at Madrak and be like, I got this. I tripped that Jack with a bola. How do you like me now?
And you can far strike him. So
wait, they didn't know shooting him?
No, that's the thing, is they kept doing that. And then, but the turns that they didn't, it'd be awesome. And then this list had the book anyway, so it didn't work in this list. But he was shooting Aaron's dead like a boss. So anyway, I was out attritioning him. It was sort of a boring game. Sorry. But I ended up out attritioning him pretty well. But I was clocking the hell out of myself. Like at the end of the game, like I only had like 3 or so minutes left and he had over 10, maybe over 15. But he was down to just a couple of models. It was like Harbinger, Devout, It was like Harbinger, Devout, a mostly alive Reckoner, and one or two Roven bodyguards. I still had a couple of Fenblades, like a handful of Scattergunners. My Bomber and Impaler were fully functional, and all of my support, which does work in Madrak.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But he moved Harbinger up within charge range of Madrak, and I was like, I've got 3 minutes left on my clock. I need to end this game right now, or I'm just gonna clock myself. So I spent like probably like, I had 3.5 minutes left on my clock. I spent probably about a minute and a half of that, like just like measuring my charge ranges and making sure and everything like that. I had to have my Fel Color give Madrak Pathfinder because he had to go about like a half inch into rough terrain, and I didn't want to leave anything. So I had him just cast Blood Free on himself for one, and then boost to hit her, and then he just ended up one-shotting her right off the table. So that's how that game ended. Otherwise, it was...
He one-shot Harvey? It's kind of nice.
On a charge, 4 dice.
Yep.
It was like dice minus 5 or something like that, because she wasn't camping very much.
And
like,
she'd been martyring, I suppose.
Yeah, she was down to like 8 or 9 health. Like, it was actually a really, really good game, like everything said and done. Like, I mean, I was out attritioning him. He wasn't healing as much as he could have been. He could have been backing up and healing and then kept like having the martyrdom range, like be at max range and then like martyring and healing some more and forcing me to be more aggressive. Like, which I couldn't walk up and be super aggressive because he had the Avatar. So that can, you know, easily kill my Madrak, or that can easily kill my Bomber or just Madrak.
Also goes a long ways with Herbie.
Yeah, that too. And then like I said, like it came down to it and like he had way more time left on the clock. I could have very easily clocked myself if he had a Harbinger, you know, back up.
What had happened was there was a wreck marker just in front of this hill, and he wanted Harbinger to be on the hill and in the wreck marker and behind the wreck marker. But that being within an inch of the wreck marker made that she, meant that she was within Madrex charge range. So it ended up just being like a maybe far away is just better.
Mistakes were made.
But yeah, no, I mean, it was a good game all said and done. Like, so that was my round four. I went 4-0 after having no business getting past round two.
Well, congratulations. At least you didn't. At least you didn't squander the
the gift
the luck.
From.
Well, some like I said, I mean, we've talked about it before. To win a big convention, you have to get lucky.
Yep.
So
I agree.
You can't squander that luck when you get it. So that was good.
So my round four, I said it across from Michael, who went to dinner with us from Canada. I
the Crix player?
Cannot remember from where in Canada, but.
It's all the
that
same.
That whole basically that whole country is the same.
Calgary.
No, he was from Calgary.
No. I think he was from what's the French province?
Calgary.
Quebec. Pretty sure he's from Quebec.
He was from Vanberta.
Was he from Okotokis? That was one of the cities.
Look,
that was on
Michael, I'm putting my money on Calgary. So let's see if I'm right.
I'm pretty sure he was French. So
anyway,
just saying.
So he sits down with Elitch. I sit down with Bart Galleon because. Ulich will nut stomp the heck out of both Shay and my Damiano list.
At least you remembered his name this time. Hey,
I remember all four of my opponent's names. Suck it.
Did you do the? Oh, you're playing Crix? Yes.
What I did the previous year when I played against Mike.
Yeah.
So like, I sit down across from Mike, and he's just like, "Great." Now I'm going to get talked about shitty, you know, like on the podcast again, except this time it's going to be from Crump instead of Keith.
Hope he beat you.
It was a pretty, thanks, Chad.
Yeah.
It was a pretty fun game. It was Incursion. I got the die roll to go first, thank God.
His caster?
Elitch.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard of that guy.
Yeah, he's, in case you haven't noticed, he won Masters and Iron Gauntlet.
I can't wait till he gets nerfed. Oh, yep. Man, Keith. It's going to be
awesome. They'll take away Teleport, and then Keith will never play him again.
This
probably true.
Right?
They're not taking Teleport away.
So the Bard Galleon matchup versus Epic Witch is something. This is the sixth time I've played it now. And it's not a matchup I absolutely hate. Basically, how the game usually progresses is that Bard Galleon and the Nis do a ton of work and kill almost everything. Before he feats. Then he feats and kills Bart Galleon, and then it's like a handful of Crix models versus a bunch of Nis. Pretty much is how the game usually goes. Because Galleon will kill, like, something around 5 Bane Knights a turn. Or not Bane Knights, Bane Thralls. Because I never want to direct hit those guys, so thank God they have stealth. Which is pretty sweet. And then it's 8s on 3 dice to tough check them. And I usually actually try to leave two axes and Tartarus alive in that matchup. So
you
that
can't
way,
beat him back and you can keep Galleon out of their charge range.
Right.
Or force him to kill him. Either way, it's a win. I like that thinking.
Right. And this, in that list, will just completely murder Bane Knights because it usually goes like Iona harm them and then this just murder them to death. But how
aren't
that
they already
kinda,
dead?
What?
Aren't they already dead?
Bane Knights?
Yeah.
They're undead, John.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, unbloody dead. So, we're playing Incursion. I'm playing Bard Galleon, and the middle flag disappears, so this is problematic.
That never happens.
So, the Nissa are on the left flank, a Vanguard and the Snapjar are on the right flank, and Galleon's kind of walking up in the middle, sort of, kind of to the left in the event that I have to get over there, but there's a wall in my way, which is annoying. And he mini-feats with the... Blood Witches, and Iona walks over and gives Snapjaw magic weapons, and he proceeds to eat five of the minimum unit that are alive. They pass their command check, but that right flank starts to kind of fall apart as Galleon's killing Bane Knights that are on the right side of the table. The Nis are taking care, or Bane Thralls that are on the right side. The Nis are taking care of all the Bane Knights on the left, and the game kind of progressed with Gatsby trying to go towards that left flag, and then me trying to kill a Machine Wraith that's chilling on my flag on the far right side. At this point, like, I've owned everything on the right side is dead except for this Machine Wraith. And just overturns Bart's kind of slowly going over there and, like, preparing to stab this incorporeal model and then chill on the flag. But then... at some point, Lich spends all of his focus to do something. I don't remember what it was. And so I just decide to allocate three to Galleon. Galleon walks over, or Ayana harms Lich, and then Rangman walks inconspicuously to, like, the middle of nowhere, Deathfields. And he's like, what? Why are you Deathfielding? And then I'm like, oh, just wait. And then Galleon walks over and harpoons Lich.
Nice.
And kills him. Oh, super sweet part of that game is I Bone Shakered, like, three times. That spell is so fun. I'm just like, Bone Shaker, that Bane Knight. And he's just like, it's living only. I'm like, sure it isn't. And then he reads the card and he's just like, oh, holy crap, it isn't. And the Bane Knight, like, goes and kills another Bane Knight.
Ridiculous.
Did you go shika shika shika?
I did, actually. Every time I cast that spell, I do that.
Yes.
It was not as good as the time where two axes got Bone Shakered and killed Tartarus. But
I can't believe that happened.
It was pretty good.
I was at our little show.
Ridiculous.
Is that it for the day? Or are we finally done?
Yep. So I ended up winning because Lich died. But it was a really fun game.
Oh, those guys are sweet.
Yeah. Like, no, I loved
Bryn, Mike, and Spencer.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Shout
yeah.
out to you guys. Peace and love, man. We love you guys.
For awesome. Sure.
See, look, Mike, I didn't smack talk you. I just harpooned Lich.
How does that happen?
I don't remember what he spent all of his focus doing.
Not casting clouds.
Right.
Yeah. Just to, like, protect Lich.
How does he get harpooned?
I don't remember.
Seems like
Mike,
getting Lilith charged by Judicator. Mike, same kind of thing.
Mike, pro tip. Don't get harpooned.
Yeah, we were going to talk. Yeah.
I promise no such thing.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, if you come to us and tell us about how bad it was after the last time we were at Lock and Load and you played one of us and we talked about the game and your friends all made fun of you, that's, that's pretty much not the way to get us not to do it again.
This Bryn is even Spencer, worse. That was for you guys.
He lost to Crump this time.
Yeah, losing to Crump and to Mercenaries.
Look, I'm not going to
lie. With
Epic
Lich.
Right. Oh.
Come on.
Oh, man, that did happen, huh?
Yeah.
It's getting a little rude. I'm just saying.
Do you know how good it is to harpoon Epic Lich?
No.
You know what that feels like, Chad?
No, I don't.
Like, jizzing in your pants. Like, the second I hit the harpoon, I was just like, oh!
Like, it's kind of gross.
Yes, it was kind of gross.
Kind of slimy. You should use a sock for that.
And on that note.
No, I'm kidding. It was a blast, Mike. I'll happy play you again. Hopefully they come to War Machine Weekend. I think they were thinking about it.
I have a quick announcement. On next Thursday, we should be posting the game between me and John. If that game has not been done, that means John has ducked me like a pro.
And by next Thursday, you mean yesterday.
No, this is posted
on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
So tomorrow.
So tomorrow.
Into the future.
When are we going to play, Colin?
We can play anytime this weekend.
I fly to Columbus on Monday. So I'm gone all week.
He's preemptively ducking you.
I'm not ducking him. I literally do not have time
to
play him.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, because I haven't been gone away from my family.
We can do this right here in your house.
Right now?
Right on the floor.
Go get your models. Go get your models. Right now.
On July 6th, we have a tournament here. Mayhem Des Moines. Come and join us. For some good times and fun.
It will be
There's
fun.
Also a tournament coming up on July 27th in Iowa City.
July 27th, Iowa City.
I think I may have made all that up.
There's a tournament in Madison coming up sometime here in June. Not sure when.
Tournament at Tower Games.
Also, DICON.
Go to DICON.
Come and join us at DICON.
I'll be playing L5R. Herpaderpader.
June.
Are you in the Kotai again?
June 15th.
I haven't decided. I actually don't own any because my L5R card's burnt up.
June 15th, tournament at 50 Point Steamroller at Tower Games. And I want to see more than
Write
eight people
down.
There.
Save it for next week's news and announcements.
Thank you.
Roll us out.
This has been episode 59 of Muse on Minis. Thank you for joining us. This has been Fat Asian.
Keith.
Chad.
Crump.
Colin.
We'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of Muse on Minis and want to remind you to tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for more great analysis and commentary from John, Keith, Chad, Crump, and the rest of the crew. For more Muse on Minis, visit us on Facebook or check us out on Twitter at Muse on Minis. And don't forget, we're also at MuseOnMinis.com with tons of great articles about the hobby we all love. We'll see you next time.
Keep calm and Muse on.
Boom.